in the days that we used to go around taking examinations at the different madaris, makatib, in very poor areas. Those days there were hardly any ulama in the northern Natal area too, right from where you were up to Newcastle. There was nobody in Escort, nobody in Ladysmith. Only Abdul Razak, Marhum, had not returned also. Wien and Greytown, Nottingham, all these places, there was nobody. Peter Marisberg, we had one or two alims. So you should take examinations of the madaris, of the madrasas here and there, and do whatever khidmat we could do with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala in all those areas. So we went to one maktab to take examination. So noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. There's a big mud on the noon. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. So one student was taking his examination. So he read naan. So when he said naan, then I said gosht. So this is not naan, where is noon? The person doesn't have an ustad, he cannot read the Quran Sharif. Alif Lam Mim. As the Tanvir Rahmatullah says, he was traveling in the train. And one gentleman kind of person, he said, you know, give me the Quran Sharif you're reading. He says, but have you learned to read the Quran Sharif? He said, no, but what's difficult in that? I know Urdu. I know how to read Urdu. He wasn't a Muslim. He said, I know how to read Urdu. So I can read Arabic also. What difference it makes? Now the calligraphy or the kitabat, the writing of Alif Lam Ra is very different in the Arabic computers and things that you get. Because there are no computers, but it was written such a way that Alif Lam, that Ra was looking like a wow. It was Alif Lam Ra, but the Ra was looking like a wow. So Hazrat Tanvi had his the Quran Sharif in his hand like that. He said, I can read too. And then he said, what's difficult in reading that? Alu. It's Alif Lam Wow. He said, tumhare liye ye cheez nahi hai, bhai. Tum pehle ja kar seekho kahi. Ye Alif Lam Ra hai, Alu nahi hai. So how will the person know that this is, or he might just read Alif Lam Mim as Alam. Alif Lam Mim. If he doesn't know, and there's no mad written on it, he'll say Alam. So it shows that you have to have an ustad. Without ustad, a person can become gumrah. He can go astray. Many people who just relied on books only, then they went astray. They tried to understand everything directly from the books without going to any ustad. There are certain things that you can read and you can make amal. But masail and so many other things, when the person doesn't have an ustad, then he will come to his own conclusions. Just because it is in English doesn't mean the person can give his own opinions and views and come to his own conclusions. Now these days a person has no knowledge of Islam, no Quran Sharif knowledge, no Arabic knowledge, no Dini background. Picks up some Islamic literature somewhere. He doesn't even know whether it's written by a Shia or by a Qadiani or by whom it is written. So much so that some of the books are written by Jews and Christians. And they give it the flavor of Islamic terminology. And then they mislead and misdirect. So for all those things, they have to have an ustad. You have to find out. We have to humble ourselves at the feet of ustads, asatiz, our teachers. Then they will tell us, this is what it means, this is what it means. Like now this child, he was reading incorrectly. And if that child grows up like that, reading incorrectly, and then goes and starts teaching someone, they will teach exactly what he is reading. So when I asked the Ustad, he says, no, you opened such a place that he hasn't done that work as yet. So probably the Ustad didn't do that surah still. But what I was trying to test is that if Alif Lam Mim and so many other huruf-e muqatta'at has already, the child has already come across. So by now he should at least know that this noon, which has got a mud, is pronounced noon and not naan. Unless of course it was Ramzan and naan goes with halim. So the child thought must be this naan is with, going with the halim. So without the ustad, or if the ustad is not teaching correctly, then the students will learn exactly like that, and all their life they will be teaching just like that. One of the madrasas that we went for examination, the child read wa amra'atu in tabbat yada. The child read wa amra'atu. Wamra'atu, so he said, wa amra'atu. And in Surah Humazah, that wailul li kulli humazatil humazah nil ladhi. But in any case, the mistake that, some other mistake, but here this one, wa amra'atu. So I said, no, this is wamra'atu. Afterwards it appeared, or it was apparent that the Ustad himself was not qualified, or the Apa was teaching exactly like that, because 80% of the children were reading it just like that. So now if that person says, I got 25 years of teaching experience, then we will say, indeed you got 25 years of teaching experience, but 25 years of teaching something wrong. You got the experience of teaching it wrong for 25 years. And the children that learned also grew up just like that. So the Quran Sharif is something that has to be learned. Without an Ustad, you can't learn it. From transliteration, people are trying to learn the Quran Sharif reading. Now how can you learn from transliteration? How can you get the pronunciation of all the different alphabets correct in the translation? The tha, even if you write it th, it is just for to give us some idea, we say it's permissible. But the thing is that th, if they're writing for tha, now the person who does not know that it is tha, how is he going to read th as tha? How is he going to differentiate between za and za? It's difficult. He's going to use the same za or something to bring it close to that. So for reading the Quran Sharif, there has to be an ustad. And in these days now it has become easy, that there are so many qari sahib tapes available now. So there is some Shuraim and everybody is available. Those days there were one or two qari basit and a few others. So the person can have the tape on and then correct his recitation if he's got a transliteration. If he's got a Quran Sharif with transliteration and he wants to learn, so then that is the method, that he puts the tape on and then he tries to read. So then he'll get the correct pronunciation of those words. But without Ustad, if the person thinks that he can just learn the Quran Sharif, it's not possible. Our deen is mustanad, and there's a sanad, there's a chain, it goes right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I learned from my ustad, he from his, and it carries on like that until it goes right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every hadith sharif that we are reading, if a person has qualified in an institution, he has become an alim, then he will give his sanad. that I heard my ustad so-and-so say this, and he will say, I heard my shaykh so-and-so say this, and I heard my shaykh report this, and it will carry on like that until it will go right up to Rasulullah. That is the beauty of Islam, that we can get it from the source. No other deen will you have this kind of chain. I'm trying to give it to you in layman's language, that this kind of chain of narrators you will never have in any deen, any religion. Which religion can they really link up right up to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? And then again, not only just link up and say, I heard from so and so, he heard from so and so, and link it up. Each and every one of those people who have been reporting have also been tested to the maximum by the muhaddithin. Asma'ur Rijal is a whole science in itself. And if you look at Asma'ur Rijal, they, when they make bahas or when they talk about the reporters and narrators, then sometimes you get such harsh comments with regards to those narrators that somewhere they'll say, Kazzab, that person was a liar. So they'll reject that whole thing. One person in the chain somewhere. And then each muhaddis also has got his own standards of measuring. Each muhaddis has got his own standard. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has his own standard. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi has his own standard. So again, the testing of all the rawis, all the reporters, all the narrators. It's a beautiful deen in which everything is mustanad. We have to go to the right source, pick up the right kitabs, and get the right hadiths. Then we will get guidance. But because of the large amount of fabrication these days, and because of the internet and so many other things, there's an explosion of knowledge. So any title that we see Islam, finish, we take it for granted that it's Islamic literature. These days you must just look at the cover. Anything that gives you some kind of indication that it is an Islamic title, then it is Islamic literature. Then we have no yardstick to measure whether that the contents of that are really authentic or not. And that is the cause of many, many people going astray. Just yesterday a person came from, and he gave me, the day before yesterday, he gave me some literature which he picked up in Australia on one of the airlines. Either it was in the airline or one of the offices. If you look at it, the Kaaba Sharif's photograph, big title, The Pilgrimage to Makkah. And inside there's cartoons. Hajis are taking off, and they are saying that Allah will take us safely there and all that, and then there's a crash, and all the Hajis die. And then he says, you see, the only one that could have saved them was Jesus Christ. And then they bring you on to all those things. So sometimes they write Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now the person picks it up with his Muhammadur Rasulullah. And afterwards inside when he reads, it's something else. So don't just be gullible and swallow everything that is being produced in the name of Islamic literature. We have to find out what the source is first. Check it out with the ulama. Check it out with the muftis, that is this authentic Islamic literature. Now imagine tafsir of the Quran Sharif. Now if somebody has to pick up a tafsir and the cover stage by Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali. Now if you think, read a title like that, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Sahib, so straight away you think, what an authentic tafsir. Now you take it and you read. Now that Maulana Ahmad Ali, there were two famous mufassirs in Lahore. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Ramatullah Ali, the one from whose grave the khushbu came out after he passed away. You heard in my bayans many times that he is, but for those who may not have been in those majlises that I mentioned it, that he used to challenge the students of the colleges and universities. He used to say, you come with me. First he used to tell them, you come and stay by me. 4 months you spend here, and you eat the food that I give you to eat in this khanqah of mine. whether it is just plain dal or whatever it is, but you eat that. And you do the little exercises that I tell you to do, this tasbihat and wazifas and samta, judishrak, whatever was it I tell you to do. And then you come with me, I will take you to the graveyard and I will show you. There you will see with your own eyes what's happening in the graves of the people, to the people. So they used to make a big joke of it. It's a very loud claim he is making. So when he passed away, for days, the sand of his grave, there was such fragrance in there, such fragrance. Because he was a very, very pious, and very particular about halal haram. He used to carry his own food and go, and he used to go for bayans also. He used to carry chana in his packet and then catch the bus and go. That kind of mujahada he made. So Allah Ta'ala showed it that this wali of mine used to tell you, you come with me, I'll show you. But you didn't believe him, so now smell with your own noses that what is his condition in the grave. But then the ulama had to make dua that Allah Ta'ala must stop that fragrance coming out because people were stealing the sand and going away, stealing the sand and going away. One alim said, he said that he also took some sand, tied it in his handkerchief and took it away. And then he realized that, no, this is not right, I shouldn't have taken sand from the grave. So he brought the sand back and put it back on the grave. He says his handkerchief has undergone so many washings, but that fragrant smell of that sand is still in there. Because it was Jannat's fragrance. So now that is Ahmad, Maulana, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali, Lahori Rahmatullah Ali. And the other tafsir is also on the title, sometime you get Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali. Now when you read Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali, the person might think it must be the same one because they heard Maulana's name in my bayans. So they'll pick up that tafsir, but it is a Qadiani. That tafsir is written by a Qadiani. So we have to find out whether it is authentic or it's fabricated. And as I said, it is only the deen of Islam in which we can take this chain of narrators right up to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no other deen, no other mazhab, no other religion or faith in the world where their gurus and where their pandits and where their priests and their rabbis can tell you that I heard it from my ustad and he heard it from his ustad and he heard it from his until it goes to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, the language is changed. Even it doesn't even exist in the same language anymore. So we have to be very much on guard. As I said, that this type of literature now is coming out in abundance. Where the Christians and the Jews and others, they give a beautiful title, Islamic page they will give. The cover, if you have to look, then as I said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Or this book just yesterday, that man gave his pilgrimage to Makkah Mukarramah. And Kaabatullah Sharif's photograph there. And people are making tawaf. Now any Muslim, when he's going to see that, he will go for it hook, line and sinker, that this is definitely something about Hajj. But then it is written by the Christians, and as you go and read along the line, then they are telling you that Jesus Christ could have saved all those pilgrimage because he is the only savior. So these are days of fitnas in abundance. And the safeguard of that fitnas is again the sohbat of the salihin. And that we query and we find out and we check whether it is authentic or it is just written by some bogus writers. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya akramal akramin. يا غياث المستغيثين يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث. Hey Allah, it is a Mubarak day, the 29th. Allah, it is a Mubarak time. Oh my beloved Allah, the doors of heaven are open. The doors of your maghfirat are open. the doors of your mercy are open. The rains of your mercy are pouring over beloved Allah in this Mubarak day, in this Mubarak hour, in this Mubarak time. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, overlook all our mistakes and faults. Oh my beloved Allah, we haven't been able to do justice to this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, the 27th day is already gone. We don't know whether we will see the next 2 days or not. Oh my beloved Allah, so fast, so fast. The 27th night flight has left us. Oh my beloved Allah, your rahmat hasn't ended. Your mercy hasn't ended. Your forgiveness ocean, oh my beloved Allah, hasn't dried up. Oh my beloved Allah, clean and purify our hearts. Allah, forgive all the sins that we have committed from the time we became of age up till now. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, there was no question of any darkness for you. You have seen everything that we have done. You have heard everything that we have spoken. Every action of ours, oh my Allah, has been before you. It is just your compassion, your tolerance, that you did not seize us there and then. You did not destroy us there and then. Ya Allah, you could have caused the earth to tremor. You could have caused the earth to open up and swallow each and every one of us. But oh my beloved Allah, how kind you are, how forgiving you are, how merciful you are. So much of our sins you have tolerated. So much of our evil, so much of our vices. Day and night, oh my beloved Allah, day and night. We used your given gifts for your disobedience. The sight for your disobedience. The hearing for your disobedience. Our speech for your disobedience. Our hands and feet for your disobedience. Our heart and mind for your disobedience. But oh my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. You dearly love forgiveness. All you want is that the sinners must turn towards you. Repent over their sins. Oh my Allah, in this Mubarak time, we are extending our begging bowls before you. Ya Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Ya Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of Akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with good health, spiritual health and physical health. Bless us with prosperity. Bless us with contentment. Bless us with satisfaction. Bless us with zuhad and qana'at. Bless us with your ma'rifat. Bless us with your yaqeen. Bless us with tawakkul in you. Allah, bless us with such a bond with you, such a bond with you, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Ya Allah, make us the fish that swims deep down in your ocean of ma'rifat. Allah, make us the fish that swims deep down in your ocean of ma'rifat. Ay mere pyare Allah, do not seize us on account of our sins. Ya Allah, we are indeed very sinful servants of yours. But oh Allah, everything lies in your hands. Ya Allah, change the direction of our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make the children obedient, oh Allah, to you and their parents. Oh my beloved Allah, one day we have to leave this world and come to you. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, let us leave this world with Iman. Allah, save us from the azab of Qabr. Save us from the azab of Hashar. Cause us to cross pole Sirat like lightning and enter into Jannat without any reckoning. Ey mere pyare Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of Akhirat. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar.
اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.